2015, January 3rd, Gaurakatha Lecture. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the hidden treasure which is secret within all the Vedas for numerous reasons. The most basic one being is that he came to experience consciousness of a devotee. And if it was clearly understood that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it would have totally disrupted his experience. In the Bhagavad Gita, we have a record of Sri Krishna's own words. There's so many scriptures in this world that teach us about the attributes of God. Bhagavad Gita is God's own words in his own song. And even more deep than what God says about himself is what his loving devotees say about him. Which we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very rich with the pastimes of the Lord. The heart of the matter being 10th canto. And the 11th canto being reflections on what transpired in the 10th canto. Bhagavad Gita is the Lord's own words. Srimad Bhagavatam is the loving devotees narrating the pastimes of the Lord, which is even more intimate and sweet. Still more profound is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which reveals the Lord's own heart. When Mahaprabhu is dancing before the chariot of Lord Jagannath, and the conversation she was dramatizing his dance. And the response from Lord Jagannath was a repetition of what had transpired thousands of years earlier on the plains of Kurukshetra. In that very profound interaction, Mahaprabhu, in the exact words of Srimati Radharani, pleading to Krishna on his chariot, come back to Vrindavan. And he said, he gave so many arguments. I sent Buddha to teach you Gyan and Yoga. How to remember me? And Lord Chaitanya Buddha Srimati Radharani said, that's ludicrous. We don't want to remember you. We're trying to forget you. What do you want? You again place your lotus feet in Vrindavan. That is my desire. That was her way of telling Krishna that was your desire, knowing that he would be more responsive to her plea and his own desire. And then Lord Chaitanya revealed his heart, which is not different from the heart of Srimati Radharani. Most self-realized souls consider that their mind and heart are one. But my mind is not different from Vrindavan. And I know how you love Vrindavan. And when they're pulling the ropes of Lord Jagannath's chariot, they're entering into the pastime of the gopis of Kurukshetra, pleading with Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. He gives so many arguments. The demons are not all finished and have to protect the devotees. And it was a tug of war in his own heart between the call of duty and the irresistible attraction of love. And just to help him with his decision, the gopis grabbed the reins of the horses and began leading them to Vrindavan. And we're entering into this lila in Ratha Yatra, which Srila Prabhupada wanted to take to every city of the world. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, let's go through that sequence again. Conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is Manamana Baba Mad Bhakto Vatidina Manaskuru Mami Vaishyata Satyam Te Pratidne Priyosime. Always think of me. How can we always think of Krishna? You naturally always think of what you love the very most. And Lord Chaitanya has taught us how to develop such love for Krishna that we can never forget. And the symptom of that remembrance is sarva dharma vritta ca mam nikam We have Krishna's own thoughts about Vrindavan and the love of the Vrindavasis. And Krishna was perplexed by the dilemma. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know everything. I'm all powerful. But how is it that I cannot understand the depth and the nature of the love of the Vrindavasis? How is it that I'm conquered by them? Shridhama, we were discussing on New Year's, finds great delight when Krishna boasts about what a victorious wrestler he is. Shridhama delights in reminding him that I have heard from a reliable source that you are defeated in wrestling, my mother and sister. And Krishna just has to accept he is conquered. Although he is the most expert wrestler, far advanced in martial skills and wrestling moves, in the tournament of love, he is conquered. And he has to admit it. But he has to contemplate. How is it that I know everything, but I cannot understand the love of the Vrindavasis? And his conclusion was that since Srimati Radharani's feelings are incomprehensible even to Krishna himself, he could only, and he longed to experience. Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a nutshell, gives us the three internal and two external causes for the advent of Lord Gauranga. Desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him which she alone can relish by dint of her love, and the sublime happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of his love. Krishna is contemplating, what is it she experiences? What is it in me that she finds so irresistibly attractive? And his conclusion was there was no way he could understand. Although he is the greatest intellect in creation, it's not a matter of the mind or the intellect. He concluded that only by taking the role of Srimati Radharani could he experience the depth of her love and what she finds so irresistibly attractive in Krishna that the Vrindavasis can never forget him, try as they might. The external reasons follow. The time came for the scheduled incarnation of the age, the Yuga Avatar. And simultaneous to that, the Lord was being attracted by the loud roars of Advaitacharya, who for 12 years with a vow to bring down the Lord was worshiping him with Ganges water and Tulsi Manjari. And the Lord himself admitted that I was sleeping so peacefully in the ocean of milk, your loud roars, which tapered off into tender sobs like a child. He woke me up from my mystic slumber and brought me here. And who was living with Advaitacharya at that time? Haridas Thakur. He was chanting of Hare Krishna. May the Lord's advent reality. So when you proclaim an Ishtadev, a favorite deity, you have to verify by scripture. And Chaitanya Charitamrita gives elaborate analysis of the schedules, even more so than Bhagavatam, the scheduled appearances of the Lord. In the 28th Divya Yoga, during the reign of Vaibhishvatamana, which comes only once in the day of Brahma, a period of 8,640,000,000 years, there is an alteration of the appearance of the Yuga avatars, which are described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Karavachana Muni is explaining to King Nimi, in response to his question, what are the various avatars from different ages? What are the colors, weapons, implements, missions? And this is basically there. By color, they are Shiva, Radha, Shyam, Krishna. Which would make Krishna the avatar for the Kali Yuga. Which does not seem to correlate with the words of Garga Muni, the Krishna's name-giving ceremony. The former lady was Shukla Arata. Now he is Krishna, meaning dark. He also has a golden form yet to come. So the Bhagavatam says, Krishna is the avatar for the Kali Yuga, it means Gauranga. But Srimad Bhagavatam qualifies Krishna Vahartasa Krishna Sango Pankasaparsha Yadhyaisa Kirtanakari Jati Sumedasa. Krishna Varna, the avatar for the Kali Yuga, the special Kali Yuga. Every other Kali Yuga, there's a Yuga avatar who comes to bestow Yuga Dharma. And the residents who follow the sadhana he prescribes attain Vaikuntha. But Krishna Varna, this avatar is always chanting all the names of Krishna. But Tvasa Krishna, he's not Krishna, meaning he's not dark. He is Gaur. He is Krishna, but he's golden and lustre. And he's a channel avatar, concealed, because his mission and heart are very confidential. So after Krishna performed, revealed his Braja Leela, which happens only 1,000 Dwapara Yugas, he was contemplating after he was concluded. I reveal the supremacy and sweetness and beauty and charm of Braja Leela and Raj Bhakti. But how can anyone attain it? The living entities are my children. I'm their supreme father. He was concerned. And his concerns are elaborately revealed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the world, hearing of my glory, naturally worshiping in Vaini Bhakti, meaning reverential worship and love. But love is made feeble by reverence. It cannot control or attract me, and it doesn't fully satisfy the living entities. But the real problem is that Krishna was thinking, I revealed myself under the Pariyuk, and by his inconceivable feats of killing Jarasandha and Kamsa and Dantavakra and Salva. Obviously, this was God. And therefore, people would worship him as God. And people naturally worship in a reverential mood. The problem is that that kind of worship, for which Krishna would be responsible, would take the living entities to Vaikuntha, where they would have no access to the path to Braja, which is found only here on earth. And the mercy of Lord Gaurangi is very rarely achieved in Vaikuntha. Anything is possible, but it's quite inconceivable that one could attain the mercy of Lord Gauranga in Vaikuntha, because it is specifically bestowed on only one planet in creation, which is our Mother Earth. And in Krishna's own words to Arjuna, of all the planets in creation, the Earth is the most special, because upon the Earth is the town of Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, the gopis are most glorious, because in their midst is one Srimati Radharani. Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Gauranga came and induced the whole world to dance in the mellows, the four mellows of Braja Prem. And Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport on the matter that there's only two mellows available on earth, or even in Vaikuntha, normally. That is Shanta and Dasya Ras. Passive adoration, which is not really a rasa at all, because however great the personality may be, if you don't have a relationship with him, he's not going to be of any special concern to you. And with Dasya Ras comes the exchange of service, which is really the first rasa. But even if you include Shanta, there's only two rasas available. Even in Vaikuntha, you may say two and a half rasas in Vaikuntha, because Krishna has queens, which are like consorts, but they're really servants in the role of wives. So there's really only two mellows of devotion available in Vaikuntha, or even on earth, save but the mercy of Lord Gauranga, who makes... And why is that? Dasya is the relationship of servant to master, which is the extent to which you can have a relationship with God outside the mercy of Lord Gauranga. But you can say, well, I want to be friend and wrestle with Krishna. Friendship means equality, which means either you have to rise up to the level of Krishna, which is Mayavad, or Krishna has to condescend. What to speak of? Vatsalya, in which Krishna is a child with parents who take the superior position to him. What to speak of Madhurya, where Krishna is conquered by love. So, of Vaidhi, meaning rules and regulations. person of the Saraswati's mission was dedicated to collective. Without rules and regulations in our worship, it just becomes a disturbance both to God and to society. And therefore, sadhana bhakti is essential. But sadhana bhakti is vital. Rules and regulations which can take you only to the majestic love of Vaikuntha at most. How, back to Krishna's concern, will the living entities attain Vraja Bhakti? And that love of the Vrajavasis, that they can never forget Krishna. And by following in their footsteps, we can achieve that same destination. So Lord Chaitanya established, and the six Goswamis even more so, the Vaidhi, the worshiping Lord Gauranga, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which can take you to the destination of Vaikuntha. What is unique and special in the gift of Lord Gauranga? Always the rules and regulations have love at their heart. But when the Lord comes as a devotee of Raj, worshipping Him is not vital. Srila Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion that Raga Yoga Bhakti means following one of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And who are all the inhabitants of Vrindavan following? Srimati Radharani. And when the Lord comes in her mood to not only experience but actually to become Srimati Radharani, then in our abiding, worshipping Lord Gauranga as a Yuga avatar, we are following in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, which is Radha Yoga Bhakti. Which means that as we mature and perfect our observance of the rules and regulations, worshipping Lord Gauranga in the only two mellows of Shanta Dasi Ras, as the heart of that Vaidhi takes prominence in Raghuru Bhakti blossoms, Lord Gauranga of Nadia reveals his alternate feature as Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, in Madhurya, and Raghunuga take prominence in our devotion. Lord Gauranga came to personally inaugurate the Yuga Dharma based on chanting the holy names of Krishna. Yuga Dharma is always chanting the holy name. The most suitable form of worship in Kali Yuga, because of all forms of the Lord, His holy name is least likely to be grossly misunderstood. It's subtle. It's not a Yuga Dharma, because within the Yuga Dharma is Prema Dharma, Golokena Prema Dharma, Adinan Sankita. So, to benefit the world, Lord Gauranga bestowed a form of sadhana, Bhakti Bhakti, which has within it Raghunuga, which blossoms and takes prominence as our devotion matures. Another pastime He had to leave Lakshmi behind. And he loves her. And he tells her as he's leaving, I'll be back to the Lord tomorrow at the latest. But after a week, you know how Matadis get, even the goddess of Vaikuntha. She gathered up her maidservants. And Lord Chaitanya was attending this festival with Sudhir Damodar and Srinivas Thakur. And they see the deity of Lakshmi coming out of the temple, Nilatsa, which is Dwarka, and she is angry. And her maidservants, armed with clubs, begin beating the chariot of Jagannath. And they arrest the servants and bind them and handcuff them and make them the butt of jokes and loose language, meaning they humiliate them. With Dhamma had to cover their faces with their hands to not be seen smiling at the amusement of this affair. And Mahaprabhu asked Dhamma, what is going on? Why is she so angry? He said, this is the nature of a girl who's afflicted with love, to feel neglected when her lover departs and doesn't come back when he says. This is such a scene. And then, Srivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni, started taking the side of Lakshmi Devi, challenging Swarup Damodar. How is it that your Lord Krishna, who is supposed to be expert at everything, could leave, abandon the super excellent fortune of the goddess of Vaikuntha, and in preference for some leaves and twigs and gunja berries and peacock feathers, be irresistibly attracted to the flower garden of Srimati Radharani? Why does he do such things? Lord Chaitanya said, I can't answer that. But Swarup Damodar appeared among the Vrindavan. He can explain it. And he said, Dear Srivas, the mood of Narada is taking prominence in you today. You want to know the answer to your question? Because it was actually, you know, Lakshmi Devi's own question. And she asked Krishna, take me to Vrindavan. He said, if you become a maidservant to the gopis, you can come. He said, what? I cannot submit to anybody but you. What the speed of cowardice? It's impossible. She performed tapasya for a long period. Finally, Krishna asked, what do you want? To enter Vrindavan. So he took her upon his chest in the form of Srivatsa. But that's quite shallow, really, because who is in his heart? She cannot attain that love, that depth. So then Swarup Damodar began to sing. You want to know the opulence of Vrindavan? Every tree is contradiction. Produces whatever you want. Every cow, Kamadeva, produce whatever you desire. And the ground is Chintamani, wish-fulfilling touchstone. That dust decorates the lotus feet of the damsels there who far exceed in glory over the goddess of devotion. And what is the purport? Because in Vrindavan there is love. And really, the gopis are milkmaids in the truest sense of the term, because they draw out the most nectarian grasses from Krishna, collect them, and make them available to a world in which the conflagration is just scorching. The world is on fire, and it can only be quenched by the mellowness of devotional service. Which Lord Brahma distributes. But even when Narada Muni attained that darshan of Lord Brahma, like unto that very rare darshan of Lord Brahma, like unto the to Narada, who in his synopsis told of his mission, and Narada's compassion was aroused, but my Lord, what about the rest of the world outside of Bharatvarsha? What will become of them? And Lord Gaurava said, to those far-off lands of Malaxis and Yavanas, where people try to flee the flood of my mercy, I will send more Senapati Bhakta, the commander of my devotees, to go to the western lands to recruit them for devotional service. So, Lord Gaurakami, he appeared in this world during the lunar eclipse because it's an inauspicious time of darkness, and so inauspicious that all the Aryans actually take shelter doubly in. And the Muslims mimic them in ridicule and jest. And when the whole earth is resounding with the holy name of Krishna to announce the appearance of Krishna, then the Gaurakami took his birth. He also appears rises like the back of a turtle. with patterns, which is really the different cruises of the yoga pita in the center. And Krishna came to the Kurna to Imlita, and he waited. Where is my Prayati? And the raging fire of separation began to drive him almost mad. But then he saw her features everywhere in Vrindavan. The long curving Jamuna with crisscrossed waves glittering in the moonlight was like her braids. And the lotus flowers on the waves were like the flowers which decorated her hair. The moonlight glittering on Jamuna was like the sheen of her tresses. And the fragrance of Vrindavan forest was like her personal scent. That's why she's called Rajarupa. Krishna was seeing her feminine features everywhere in Vrindavan. And he became absorbed in her mood and began in meditation, sitting like a yogi in mystic trance with closed eyes within the kunj, wandering through the myriad ecstasies of the flower garden of her devotion, and overcome with her mood and sentiments, his golden luster became eclipsed. His darkish complexion became eclipsed by a golden aura, which was not just a change in color, but was a manifestation of what was transpiring within his heart, which became expressed on his tongue as he chanted, "Radhe, Radhe," wondering when will she come. She arrived a little late and was astounded and a little surprised and even afraid to see that the whole kunj was luminous with a golden luster. So very timidly she approached the gate, the entrance to the kunj, and like the daughter of the wind, moved aside the vines which were like a curtain. And she was shocked. This is not Krishna. This is like some forest deity awaiting the arrival of some silver goddess. So she began to back off in the same. But then she heard his voice, which is not different from the sound which forever resounds within her own heart, calling her by name. Radhe, Radhe. And she went back and looked. And his features were like that of Krishna, with his complexion is golden. And her presence drew him back to external consciousness. When he opened his eyes and he saw her before him, he was confused. "Are you Radha?" Because he was thinking, "I'm Radha." But there she is before him. "Are you Radha?" And she thought it best not to answer, but smiled so graciously and gently took her head. "I do have a form. I am here, and I am conscious, but who am I?" And she asked him, "Krishna, what induced you to become golden?" And he said, "I became so immersed your mood and sentiment that it affected me in this way." And she said, "I've never seen such a form." written. And she woke up, very surprised at what she had experienced, and then went back to sleep. In the morning, awoke to tell Krishna, I had this dream. I was on the bank of a wide river that had a very wide bank, and there were thousands of devotees singing and dancing so gracefully, just like we do here in Vrindavan. And in their midst was this jewel of the twice born in golden complexion, dancing in ecstasy, calling to Krishna and calling to me. He was chanting Hare Krishna. And I felt so attracted to him that I thought I should commit suicide, because I should not be attracted to anybody but you. But I was attracted to him just as I am to you. Who was that? And Krishna said, you've seen my various forms, the various avatars many times. You've never been so attracted or astounded before. Hey Krishna, was that you? But if that was you, then where was I? And if that was me, then where were you? And Krishna just smiled and he touched his kastuba gem, which began to emanate this luster, in which the whole scene was recreated. But just like a jewel, say a diamond, it has so many faces that reflect so many different images in so many different directions. Within the luster that revealed the global non-sankirtan also was revealed how Krishna was interacting with each and every jiva who participates in the sankirtan. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes that description by saying, anyone who hears this pastime will awaken from the dream of doubt and despair into the luster of Lord Gauranga's gift to this world. As the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita continue, Kaviraj Goswami repeats Krishna's words in the Bhagavatam, the Napayayam verse, that he's speaking to the gopis, I'm unable to repay you for your super excellent love. I can't reciprocate. It's too exalted. Let your own glorious deeds and devotion your only compensation. But Krishna is the most refined gentleman. He is not one to remain a debtor forever. What could not be repaid by Sri Krishna was fully repaid in the pastimes of Lord Gauranga. What does this mean? Krishna cannot reciprocate the gopi's love because it is focused exclusively on him, whereas his love is distributed in varying degrees to all living entities in creation. The drama of love necessitates these two different types of characters, the Vishaya, the object of love, and the Ashraya, the subject and shelter-giving devotee. When the Vishaya becomes the Ashraya, and his devotion is focused exclusively upon her, which is distributed to all her expansions, the Sakyas and Manjaris, then the debt is repaid, and it is further enriched by the love of Vrindavan being showered upon all living entities. Navadvip Dham, transcendental abode of Lord Duranga. There is a sublime yearning in them, characteristic of the subdued charms of chastened lovers, temporarily parted, which serves to allure and attract the most discerning pilgrims to enter its portals, which are forever open to receive with the most unreserved mercy in most indiscriminate form the gift of the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan distributed by the hands of the Golden Avatar himself. Thank you. Are we left to have any questions or comments? Thanks.
Tomorrow, so how does he repay the golden that you said the Christians and stuff already come by cannot repay them? But how does Chaitanya talk to him to repay him? Is it because he's giving that same what he's obtained to his others?
Their love, which is focused exclusively upon him, he reciprocated by focusing his love exclusively upon them. And furthermore, as a sannyasi, becoming the most severe ascetic, because the nature of Krishna is supreme enjoyer. The nature of gopis is supremely enjoyed by Krishna. And by forfeiting all pleasures, he was reciprocating their unlimited sacrifice to please him. So in all ways, but most of all, by focusing his love and devotion specifically upon them, he reciprocated their exclusive devotion for him. But he excelled that also in sharing that with all the world, thus pleasing the Vrijavasis who want to share their treasure with everyone.
Could we say that way of him focusing his exclusive love on is also by glorifying him, because he growing in the world able to fully appreciate the presence of Vrindavan?
Yes. As they glorify him exclusively, he glorifies them exclusively. But most of all, in the process, benefited all the world with the opportunity to enter into that love. So in that way, he not only reciprocated, he more than reciprocated. Anything else?
Guys, we often say that Krishna, one of the qualities of Krishna is all-knowing, that he knows everything. So how is it possible that he does not know Srimati Radharani's love for him?
That was his own dilemma, which he could not answer, and he could not understand, only by experience. That can only be known to Lord Brahma, who is Krishna. So in that form, he can understand to some degree as Krishna.
So Krishna, by reciprocation, he paid the debt of the gopis. So when he was not able to pay, they said gopis became the control. Hence, he was so indebted to them that they were able to control Krishna. When he paid it back, is there a difference in control then?
Would the only control in Braj is by love. And really, no one loses. And no one is really victorious because it's an ever-increasing dynamic.
Maharaj, you spoke about Vaiti Bhakti, and you spoke about how Bhaktivedanta Sarvaj Thakur spent a large part of his mission collecting it. You spoke about the importance of Vaiti Bhakti. I was very, very curious, but I did not get the whole purport of what you were saying about how by worshipping Lord Chaitanya we get to Raghunuga Bhakti. Could you please?
Going back to...
Can you repeat the question?
He's asking about the relationship between Vaiti Bhakti and Raghunuga, basically. In Krishna's own words, all the world worships me in awe and veneration. That's natural. A human being, when he sees the glory of God, he naturally worships what he sees as God. That kind of worship takes one ultimately to Vaikuntha. And Krishna was concerned that in revealing his Brajalila, which he wanted to share with all the world, he would actually be cheating everyone from Bhajalila, because seeing that he is God, he would worship him on veneration. The only alternative is to which is imitation, sahaja, which takes one basically to hell. And Vaidhi Bhakti takes one to Vaikuntha. So he was thinking, he had not fulfilled his obligation to living entities. He revealed Rajalila. He gave them no access to it, but rather a process that would take them away from it, Vaidhi Bhakti. In coming as a devotee, the foremost devotee of Vrindavan, our worship of Lord Gauranga as the Yuga Avatar in Vaidhi Bhakti is simultaneously within it, following in the footsteps of the Lord as a devotee, which is Raghunuga. And Vaidhi Bhakti is limited to worshiping the Lord in only two rasas, Shanta and Dasya. By worshiping Nimai of Nadia, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Shanta and Dasya Ras, by Vaidhi Bhakti, we are simultaneously within that Vaidhi Bhakti, within that Lord Gauranga, following in the footsteps of the foremost of Vrindavan residents, which is Raghunuga. It's one dynamic. We focus on Vaidhi Bhakti, because that's the stage we're at. But when that Vaidhi matures, then that Gauranga of Nadia reveals his ultimate feature of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, unfolding the additional mellows of Sakya, Vatsya, and Madhurya Prema. And that's why that's what Rupa Goswami says. He is more magnificent than any avatar, including the avatari Krishna himself, because he's distributing pure love for Krishna, which only the devotee can do. So, we worship him as Krishna in Vaidhi Bhakti. We are simultaneously following the footsteps of Srimati Radharani. That is something we cannot prematurely imitate, but will naturally evolve in time as our sadhana and shares. This is the gift of Lord Brahma and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And that's why, you know, when the devotees in the early days told Srila Prabhupada, you know, because the International Society for Krishna Consciousness people came into the church, she called it God consciousness. He said, no, there's no need. There's plenty of yogas to distribute God consciousness. Krishna consciousness is something quite unique.
The Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga is Harinam Sankirtan. My question is that how come Krishna came as a Chana avatar to propagate the Yuga Dharma for this age? Or to rephrase the question, wouldn't the Yuga Dharma of chanting of Harinam Sankirtan be more well accepted if he would have come as an open avatar instead of as a Chana avatar?
No. In the 999 out of 1,000 Kali Yugas, he comes as God and propagates Harinam Sankirtan. He takes everyone who follows him to Vaikuntha. Now, if you look at his early pastimes in Navadvipa, I mean, there's different phases, but specifically, he phased as professor. He became a professor at a very early age. And what was he doing? He was wandering through the streets of Navadvipa looking for little professors. Because Navadvipa was the emporium of culture and learning for all the world. With the exception of one, just going back a few years, and that was the science of Nyaya, which was the sole exclusive right of the Anas of Mithila, who would not let their textbooks into the hands of any Bengalis, knowing that their intellect would eclipse the former glory, or the current at the time, of Mithila. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went there as a student, learned the science, and left without any textbook, began his academy of Nyaya, which thereafter became the Navya Nyaya, at which point Navadvipa had the topmost professors in every field. But none of them were talking about bhakti, including the pundits who taught Bhagavatam. There was no mention of bhakti. So, as Professor Nimai is wandering through the streets, and it's like the lion is out, the lion of controversy, this contending Nyaya, and wrangling smart, just looking for professors, and they would run. Because what was his strategy? My dear professor, ask me some question. And they'd already learned that he must be defeated as Nimai. He's just humble at everybody. So every pundit, every professor, every philosopher who posed to him there, just deepest, most impossible question to answer. And he would answer it in a way that just silenced their question. Now the question is incredible because the intellect of the Bengalis at that time would make the European mind just dizzy trying to approach it from a distance. And it was a game for them, like open tournaments of rhetorical gymnastics. And then here comes Nimai. Because the other part of the game is you challenge your opponent. So he challenged, ask me any question. They would think of the most difficult possible question to ask him. And he would answer it sounding in the question, and nobody can answer a question like that. If you think that was good, he would refute his answer. And that was more impossible, more astounding. Then he would refute his refutation and establish his original premise on more solid ground. And everyone, who is this? Is this Lakshmi? Or is this some form of God come as a rhetorical pundit? And rhetoric was his, you know, his forte, really. But what was he doing? He's fulfilling the role of the Yuga Avatar. Because just as Krishna had to subdue all the demons, Lord Garanga had to subdue a subtler form of demons, these intellects. Which preoccupied in being the Divyajaya all conquering. And then the Divyajaya finally came. All the pundits fled, except Nimaya was just completely casual about it. That's the role of the Yuga Avatar, to humble all these contending philosophies and attitudes. And of course, he was a secular pundit until he took initiation. Although, you know, the passion for Krishna was, you know, gaining strength in his heart, and he wanted to express it and reveal it through the length and breadth of his hometown and from there to the world. But he couldn't do it until he took initiation. That was one of the principles. So up until that time, he was a secular pundit. After that, whatever question was asked, whatever challenge posed, the only answer was the holy name of Krishna. But before he could present that truth, he had to subdue all these contending challenging philosophies. That's the role of the Yuga Avatar. And after his initiation, I mean, the night of his initiation, in the middle of the night, he rises up out of bed, arms raised in the air, calling out, oh Krishna, where have you gone after stealing my heart? And he headed straight for Vrindavan. Stopped only by a voice from the sky that said, my Lord, it's not our position to tell you what to do, but you have a mission of finishing the Yuga Dharma before you fulfill your own heart's aspiration of seeking Krishna and Vrindavan. So in the back and start going around Sankirtan movement, which was his Yuga Dharma. He fulfilled the role of the Yuga Dharma. But within the Yuga Dharma is the praying Dharma, which is not there in normal Yuga Avatar. In Yuga Dharma in 999 out of 1,000 Kali Yugas. It's Yuga Dharma alone. There's no Prema Dharma within it. There's no access to Braj within it. There's no Radha Buddha within it. That is the gift of Yuga Dharma. I forgot what the question was. Did that answer it?
Then, no, my question was more of why did he come as a Channa Avatar? Meaning, if
as a what?
As a Channa Avatar, as a hidden incarnation?
Because, same. He came to experience the love of a devotee for Krishna. If he was acknowledged as being Krishna, he would constantly be addressed as Krishna and worshipped as Krishna with complete spoil of his rewarding mission. And that's why almost every time he was addressed as Krishna or Vishnu, he recovers the head. Vishnu, help me. That is blasphemy to address an insignificant jiva as God. I mean, he was addressing the philosophical principle, but he was also protecting his own. this world. And there are indications everywhere. The Mahabharata, the Puranas, the Bhagavatam, everywhere. Of this upcoming golden avatar, who is Krishna and Buddha and Devotee, but it's all so concealed that only the most wise devotees who will know not to disturb his mood can detect that hidden secret that it is. But when he had completed his mission and departed his world, it needed to be secret no longer. And Lord Nityananda, the master of Maya, told her, remove that covering. So these secrets within the Vedas, as well as the yet unrevealed scriptures, can all come to light, and the world can know what just transpired and follow him on the path of Raja. But it would have too much disturbed his mood had that been known beforehand. Except to wise discerning devotees who would not allow that knowledge to disrupt his mood.
Where the people chanting the Harinama, but the prema is not coming, then what should a person do? Or rather, if one is chanting for many years,
well, considering that that prema is unachievable to Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, and Narada, the fact that us insignificant, degraded souls of Kali Yuga don't get it the first year or two should not be too unreasonable to consider that we be patient and persevere, but also guard against material desires and offenses which obstruct it. If you're vigilant in that regard, then it's just a matter of patience and perseverance. Which we have all become anonymous of obstacles.
Maharaj, would you recommend reading about Lord Chaitanya from his sources? Some of these pastimes I have never heard before. I was wondering if there are any sources that you would recommend.
Srila Prabhupada, he mentions it, so you see, this favorite place for Lord Chaitanya to avoid the crowds of Ramayati. And it's a place where Krishna would turn golden and where Ram would turn dark. But the tradition of local Vrijavasis preserves the history as it is.
Maharaj, you were mentioning something about how every institution has the tendency to deify their founder, and you said even within ISKCON, and I was just wondering what that means.
I heard you were down, and that came to a head. And that's why we have to be grounded in Scripture. Because, you know, now 500 some years after the appearance of the Lord God everywhere, I mean, it's becoming the collective consciousness of the world, but there are still people, and very much so in India, that, you know, may accept the Lord God as a saint. He's often devoted. But when you proclaim that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they suspect that it's the same tendency. And that's why you have to have Shastric understanding to verify your beliefs. Otherwise, nobody can say that. People do about their guru or founder or whatever. It's a common human trait.